Resurrection, 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 resurrection. Having beheld Christ, you became a virgin who knew no seed, like the seed that gave passage to Israel. It remained impassable. The dwelling place of Emmanuel remained incorrupt. And he appeared as man, yet God, 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 for our sake. O heavenly King, Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of good things and giver of life, come and dwell in us, cleanse us from every stain, and save our souls, O good one. Amen. Please sit down, there are three or four chairs here, and perhaps a few people can come forward quickly, like that. Most Reverend Father, beloved brothers, children living far from the earthly homeland, Greece, and from the heavenly homeland. Children of God, oriented toward the heavenly homeland, toward the city not made by human hands, the city that has firm and eternal foundations, whose craftsman and creator is God himself. Yesterday we spoke about the fearful phenomena of demon possession, and we showed from Scripture and from the hard experience of life that the devil or Satan exists, and that there are angels of Satan, demons who invade souls. People become demon-possessed and display phenomena that cannot be explained naturally or humanly. Today we will speak about spiritualist phenomena. Yesterday we spoke about demon possession. Today we will speak about spiritualism. What is spiritualism? Who are spiritualists? Spiritualists are people who claim that they come into communication with good spirits, with the spirits of the dead, with the spirits of the saints, with the spirits of angels and archangels. Spiritualists gather in assemblies and perform wonders and signs. They gather around a table, say certain words, and the table rises into the air, suspended. They say certain words, and plates, glasses, spoons, and forks rise up and dance in the air. These are not optical illusions. They are real phenomena. Indeed, tables and glasses and plates and spoons and forks, through the words of the spiritualists, are lifted up and dance in the air. The spiritualists even lift people into the air. Another phenomenon occurs, even stranger and more curious. A person taking part in the spiritualist gathering can lose a large part of his weight. A man who weighs 80 kilos can, during the spiritualist phenomena, lose 50 kilos of his weight and weigh only 30 kilos. The spiritualists also use the letters of the alphabet, a heap of alphabet letters on the table. They give a command, and the letters move and form words and phrases. The letters move and arrange themselves in order, epsilon, gamma, omega, epsilon, iota, mu, alpha, iota, and so on. And one reads, I am St. Gregory, the theologian. The spiritualists simply give a command, and the letters move automatically and form words and phrases. Through this moving form of spiritualism, various persons appear as the spirits of beloved dead, as saints, as angels, and archangels. And in this way, they speak to the spiritualist gathering. The spiritualists claim that they put people in communication with their beloved dead. Someone goes because he has lost his father. That is how people speak. When someone dies, they say he has been lost. No one is lost. Human beings are spirits. Immortal souls are not lost. They pass from this world into the world of eternity. Who does not have the longing to communicate with his beloved dead? Someone goes to the spiritualist gathering and says, these days I lost my father. Do not be upset. The spirituals tell him, do you want to communicate with him? Of course I do. A little later, a voice is heard. It is exactly the voice of the dead father, my child George, how are you? He addresses the child who went to the spiritualist gathering to communicate with his father's spirit. How is your mother? How is your brother? Naming him by name, your sister. Naming her by name, what is happening with that matter? And with the other one. The man is astonished and says, my father, is it possible? And he may not only hear a voice, but even see the form of his father exactly as his father was, and run to embrace that form. My father. It is not the father. It is a satanic spirit that assumes the form of the father and takes on the father's very voice. It is a deceiver. The greatest deceiver, my brothers, is Satan. He appears as the father exactly in the form of the departed father, exactly with the voice of the departed father. This is a terrible delusion of Satan, nor is it Saint Gregory, as the letters that move automatically seem to show when they form the phrase, I am Saint Gregory the theologian. It is a demon that pretends and appears as Saint Gregory the theologian. Holy Scripture strictly condemns, with the penalty of death, recourse to spiritualists in order to question the dead. King Saul, carrying out the will of God, had executed almost all the spiritualists of his land. Here and there, some spiritualist person had escaped being put to death. But one day Saul, when he had fallen under God's displeasure, found himself in a terrible position because his enemies attacked him. And in that difficult hour, he sought out a ventriloquist woman, a spiritualist, in order to ask her what would happen. How would he get out of that dreadful dead end, specifically from the ventriloquist, from the spiritualist woman? He asked that she bring up from Hades the spirit of the prophet Samuel. This is what Saul asked, so that he could question the prophet Samuel. Samuel, what must I do to be saved from my enemies? The spiritualist woman was terrified. You are testing me, she said, so that you may put me to death, as you put the other spiritualist persons to death. No, said King Saul, I am not testing you. I truly want you to bring up from Hades the prophet Samuel, so that I may ask him, because I am in a very terrible situation. Then God allowed us punishment for Saul because he had taken refuge in the spiritualist woman, that she bring up from Hades the prophet Samuel. And the prophet Samuel announced disaster for King Saul. In 2 days, he told him, both you and your children will be defeated and will all fall. You will be killed in battle. And that is exactly what happened. It was as though he were saying to him, what you are doing, questioning the spiritualist woman so that she may tell you what will happen, is impiety. And as your punishment, I allow the spirit of the prophet Samuel to come up and announce your punishment to you. There are, my beloved, many spiritualists even today, the so-called mediums. Alongside this, within spiritualism, there is also hypnotism. Spiritualists hypnotize persons, and these persons become mediums and transmit information. A hypnotized person may appear to have lived many centuries or even millennia before us and to report things from the past. The hypnotized person speaks during the hypnosis and says, I lived 5,000 years ago. I lived in 3,000 BC in Egypt, in that city. The king in that city was such a man, naming him by name. The other rulers were these men. Then these and those events took place, and he is not telling lies. People investigate, and it is proven that, indeed, In 3000 BC, that city existed in Egypt. That king existed. Those rulers existed. Those events happened. This phenomenon creates the impression that the person, the hypnotized person, lived in other ages as well and was reincarnated. That he really did live in 3000 BC. Did the person live in other ages? Number. But how does he know persons, things, and events from the time before Christ? The human being does not know them. Through the hypnotized person, the evil spirit is speaking. A demon is speaking. The demons existed many thousands of years before Christ, and they know the things of the past. But those who do not believe in the existence of demons think that the hypnotized person had also lived in earlier ages, even before Christ. Holy Scripture condemns the theory of reincarnation in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. We read, "It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." Man dies once, and afterward he is judged. He is not reincarnated. He does not come back again into life with a new body through a new birth. If the theory of reincarnation were true, Scripture would say, man dies many times and is born many times. But Scripture says no such thing. Scripture says that man dies once, and afterward he is judged. Immediately after death, he is judged in part, with a partial judgment. At the second coming, he is judged as a whole with a full and final judgment. There are many spiritualists in the world today, my beloved, many even in our homeland, Orthodox Christian Greece, which was once the heart of Christianity and is the heart of Orthodoxy. Aristocrats mainly gather in salons. Forgive me for the word I am about to say, not aristocrats, but filth, ochrats. And they play with things that must not be played with to amuse their boredom. They practice spiritualism and play with Satan, staying up all night around spiritualist tables in Athens and in other cities of Greece. I had gone to Cyprus, and in the house where I was being hosted, a young woman student brought me a book of poems to read. It was her own book. Her own poems, I read it and understood nothing. She said to me, "How do you find my poems?" I said, "I study literature too. I have read texts, classical texts, poems, ancient and modern, and I understood what I was reading. From your poems, I understand nothing. They are labyrinthine things, dark, incomprehensible." I became suspicious and asked her, "Do you perhaps have some connection with demonic things? Have you ever gone to any spiritualist gathering?" She gave a little smile. I said, "Why are you smiling?" She said, "I once went with some other friends to a spiritualist gathering." "You caught it," I said. "You became sick from the devil." And what did she confess? She brought me another poem to read, one that had received an award. "What do you understand from this one?" she said. "From this one," I told her, "I understand absolutely nothing. When I was writing it," she said to me, "a trembling state came over me, and I was sweating and in anguish. And the doors were opening and closing. The window panes were rattling. The room was whistling inside. And I heard knocking." Poor girl. I told her, "Go straight to a spiritual father for holy confession before you lose your mind." She went once to a spiritualist gathering, and these were the consequences that followed. Another time, a group of Christians and scholars came and said to me, "Come with us. Where are we going? You will see." They said, "We are going somewhere so you can see, listen, and tell us your opinion." I did not suspect where they would lead me. They led me to a group of spiritualists. From the first words they said, I understood that they were spiritualists. "You have brought me to the devils." I said, when I left afterward in my room, 100 knocks were heard on the ceiling. Another time, another group of Christians came. They led me to a bookstore where they were also spiritualists. I wanted to listen and give my opinion there in the bookstore. Besides the other people, a woman also approached me, a spiritualist. She said to me, I know you. I do not know you. I told her, how do you know me? I had you as my student 300 years ago, she said. My lady, I said, are you in your right mind? And she said it with great conviction. She was a spiritualist and believed in reincarnation. The devil is mocking you. I told her, what else did she tell me? I love Christ, she said, and I paint only icons of Christ. And the icons I paint give off fragrance, they stream myrrh. The devil is mocking you, I told her. Stop painting the icon of Christ. Abandon the theories about reincarnation. Abandon spiritualism. Go to Holy Confession, become a Christian, and then paint the icon of Christ. My brothers, unfortunately, rarely, but still there are clergy who occupy themselves with spiritualism. Father Agostinos, the Bishop of Florina, told us at a theological gathering that in earlier times, in our own century, a few decades ago, there were 3 hierarchs of Greece, and they gathered together and practiced spiritualism. And at one point, they provoked the demons. They spoke insultingly about the demons. And the demons became enraged and began to beat them brutally. The bishops were crawling under the tables, trying to appease the demons. No, good demons, do not hit us, do not hit us. They took a serious beating. I know an archimandrite here on the great continent of America, a very educated man. I will not mention his name. He joined the Pentecostal movement. This Orthodox man became Pentecostal. Yes, that is the one. And he travels through the world, holding gatherings, calling upon spirits, and by the wonders and signs he performs, he impresses many people. He came to Athens and held gatherings in the halls of large cinemas, and the Athenians ran there, the so-called aristocrats and the filthy-minded. Out of sinful curiosity, he would gather 1,500 or 2,000 people, call upon the spirits, and perform wonders and signs. Once he was unable to do anything, and he was disgraced, because inside the gathering there was a Christian couple. They were former spiritual children of his, grieving over his delusion. He himself had invited them to be at the gathering. So the young people went, but with a good thought. At the hour when he was about to begin invoking the spirit so that he could produce his spiritualist manifestations, these 2 young people, a Christian man and a Christian woman, had agreed between themselves and were praying secretly. They were saying, Lord Jesus Christ, if these phenomena are from you, let them happen. But if they are from Satan, do not allow them to happen. He kept shouting, saying, come, spirit, come, spirit, come, spirit, come, spirit. But the spirit did not manifest itself. He said it in Greek. He said it in English. He waved his hand, but the spirit did not manifest itself. The young people were faithful, and God heard them, and that man fell into great anguish, feeling that he was being humiliated before the crowd. And he said, I do not know, my brothers, this is the first time this has happened to me, that the spirit does not manifest itself. There is some obstacle. We are ending the gathering, and we will hold it another time. You see what can happen when there's a faithful person present. a chosen Archimandrite, now a blessed memory, had once been challenged by spiritualists. The spiritualist said to the Archimandrite, "We are the chosen ones. We call upon good spirits, and they perform signs. What can you priests do?" He said, "You really call upon the spirits of saints and angels." "Of course," they said, "may I come too to your gathering?" As a rule, they do not allow clergy into their gatherings, especially devout clergy. But they said to him, "You may come." So he took a cross and went to the gathering. At the moment when they were saying their spiritualist words so that the tables, plates, glasses, and letters of the alphabet would begin to move, this faithful man placed the cross on the table, said a prayer, and everything became motionless. The spirit could not manifest itself. That is why, as a rule, spiritualists do not accept clergy taking part in their gatherings. Or if a clergyman is present, especially a clergyman with faith, and he makes the sign of the cross, either the spirit does not manifest itself, or if it does manifest itself, everything is turned upside down and blows begin to fall. The demons beat the spiritualists savagely. Everything is overturned, and there is a real beating. Recently, I visited a very devout confessor priest near Chalkita. He lives with only one-third of a transplanted kidney, but he has great faith. He is also a priest with many children. 5 little ones, he was troubled. "What is the matter, Father?" I asked him. "Here," he said. "A medium from Chalkita has been making donations to churches. The devil appears both as a philanthropist and as a benefactor. Did he not say to Christ, 'If you worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world'? And the priests, Father Nicodemus, accepted the donations, except for this most devout priest. And the medium, that spiritualist woman, became angry because he said, 'I do not accept a donation for my church from spiritualists. Let not the oil of a sinner anoint my head.' In the same way, the church must not accept offerings from Freemasons, from Rotarians, or from AHIPA members." How deeply I was moved by a chosen abbess in a monastery in our homeland, which I visited recently. A rich man offered 70 million to the monastery. The abbess did not accept it because that rich man was impious. The medium became angry and went to the bishop and said, "This priest insulted me. The other priest accepted my offerings. He did not accept them." And the bishop took the side of the medium. But the priest remained unyielding. And one day, the medium, the spiritualist woman, came to his humble little house with some hired thugs and threatened to strike the priest. He notified the police so they would remove them. Do you see how much boldness Satan has acquired? Tonight I will not prolong the talk, for tonight I thought I would limit myself only to the subject of spiritualism, on the subject of magic. With God's help, we will speak tomorrow. A poor young man married a girl who was also poor. The young man had 7 siblings, and the young woman had 6 sisters. This poor young man thought in a Christian way. "I am the child of poor parents with many children," he said, "and she is the daughter of poor parents with many children. I will take her and make her the companion of my life." He married her, but she proved to be corrupt. After 4 months, the marriage broke down for serious reasons. It was a justified dissolution of the marriage. And what was revealed about the other side? All 7 sisters and their mother had gone to a medium to ask about their fate. And the demon revealed it. What did the demon say? The father was a holy man, a man of faith and prayer. But the mother and the daughters had worshipped Satan. And what did the demons shout and say? All seven of them. And their mother too. I have them in my hand. They are mine. They came to me and asked for help. The young man heard this and shuddered. And what did he say to me? He said, I am a worldly young man. I do not have much relationship with God and the church. I believe in God. But I am not a good Christian, he said. I do not go regularly to church. I am a sinner, but I did not go and ask help from Satan. That word moved me deeply. I am a sinner, but I have not asked for Satan's help, and I never will. Unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, many religious people in difficult moments of their lives have run to satanic persons, to mediums, to ask questions, to seek counsel, to receive help from Satan. These people committed the greatest sin of their lives. It is serious, very serious, for a person to fall into sins of the flesh, into fornication, into adultery. These are very serious sins. But it is a far more serious sin for someone to run to Satan and ask help from Satan. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, if any one of you, any man or woman among you, or anyone you know, has gone to spiritualists, to women spiritualists, to mediums, let that person go and confess it. If it has not already been confessed, if someone has gone to women spiritualists, to mediums, let him go and confess it. If he has not confessed it already, and let him confess it as the first sin. If he has fallen into other sins, fornication, adulteries, thefts, embezzlements, whatever else, let him confess those too. But those come second. First is that he ran to satanic persons and asked help from Satan. We are sinners, as I told you yesterday as well. 1,000 times a day we sin. We commit 1,000 sins a day with words, with logismoi, with desires, with glances, with omissions of our duties. But however sinful we may be, so long as we have not run to Satan, we are Christians. If we have run to Satan, it is as though we have denied our Christian identity. It is as though we have spat into the baptismal font in which we were baptized and became Christians. What did we say at the moment of baptism through the mouth of the sponsor? I renounce Satan and all his angels and all his works and all his pomp and all his worship. Spiritualism is worship of Satan and denial of Christ. That is why I said, my brothers and sisters, that if anyone has fallen into this fearful impiety, he must confess it first. I want to seal this talk with the moving words of one prayer from Pentecost. The prayers of our church are magnificent, but even more magnificent are the prayers of the divine liturgy of Theophany and of Pentecost. What grandeur these prayers have, I speak to you as a man of letters, in world literature, in all the world's letters, literature and poetry. There are no masterpieces like the masterpieces of Orthodoxy, like the prayers of the divine liturgy, the prayers of Theophany, and the prayers of Pentecost. What do the faithful say in the words of one prayer of Pentecost? They address God. And the faithful say, Lord, against you alone do we sin, but you alone do we worship. And we have not stretched out our hands to a strange God. Lord, we are sinners. We recognize and confess our sinfulness against you. We sin. You are the one we offend with our sins, our creator and maker and lawgiver. Yes, we are sinners. But we are not empires. We are not deniers. Against you we sin. but you alone we worship. We have not lifted up our hands to another God, we have not denied you, and we have not run to another God, and we have not asked help from another God. This other God, the God of this world, is Satan, my brothers and sisters. And we, as faithful people, must stay far away from Satan. Whatever difficulties may come upon us in life, we must not run to satanic persons. We must not ask help from Satan. Satan cannot do good, he can only do evil. Let us lift up our hands to the true God, the triune God, the Father, the Son, who sacrificed himself for us, and the Holy Spirit, and let us say, Lord, against you alone do we sin, but you alone do we worship. We have not stretched out our hands to a strange God. Amen. Today we finished more quickly, and you have time to ask questions. I am listening here. Forgive me. There are two written questions here. Mr. Sotiropoulos, it says, please, if you can, give us an explanation on the matter of healing by the Holy Spirit and healing by Satan, because many Christians fall into delusion. Healing by the Holy Spirit, I understand. The Holy Spirit is God, and God loves us, has compassion on us, and there are cases where he works miracles and heals us. He does not always heal us, because such is the will of God. So many times the will of God is for us to suffer, to be tested, so that we may be purified and saved. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God, says the apostle. But in other cases, the Holy Spirit, our God, heals us. The healing of the Holy Spirit is real. The evil spirit cannot heal. The evil spirit can create the deceptive impression that it heals, but it cannot truly heal. I will give you an example. Because of demonic influence, demonic activity, someone has terrible headaches. He goes to a sorcerer or a sorceress, and the sorcerer or sorceress says, I will heal you. And the headache really does go away. Do you think this is a real healing? The devil brought the headache, and then he withdrew and the headache left. In order to create in you the deceptive idea that the sorcerer and the sorceress are benefactors, that they work beneficial miracles. The devil brought the headache, and the devil took it away in order to deceive you, so that you would believe that the sorcerer and the sorceress do good deeds. Another example, in the Philippines, it is said that there are wonder workers, or rather miracle makers. An acquaintance of mine took his child who had a tumor in the head, and the doctors had given him no hope, and he went to the Philippines, a wonder worker, the supposedly miraculous one, a miracle maker, placed his hand on the child's head and said, the child has been healed, the tumor is gone. They took an x-ray, and it no longer showed a tumor. Overjoyed, they took the child and returned to Greece. In 1 month, the child died. What happened? I think the devil hid the tumor. The x-ray did not show it. The impression was created that the devil had worked a beneficial miracle. In reality, the tumor remained. And in 1 month, the child died. The devil cannot do good. Once there in Athens, I went to a church and preached. And as I was coming out of the church, I saw a demon-possessed woman. She was calm at that moment, and she was eating a chocolate bar. She broke off a piece of the chocolate and came and offered it to me. I knew this demon-possessed woman. Her name was Eleni. I am offering you this chocolate. Thank you, Eleni, and I took the chocolate. I am not Eleni, I said. Who are you, since I know you as Eleni? It was a terrible case of demon possession. I told you I am not a Lani. I said, who are you? The one who is inside a Lani. You are the devil. I said, take your chocolate back. From you, I accept no gifts. She took the chocolate. She went farther back and leaned against the wall. She was eating it, and at one moment she shouted, Sotir Apollos, speak Eleni. I told you, I'm not Eleni. Who are you, the demon that is inside Eleni? Speak, devil, what do you want from this dealings with Satan? You will do me a favor, I said, let me hear it. If you do me this favor, I will do for you whatever good you want. The devil has the idea that he can also do good. The devil cannot do good. What do you want? Devil, you will stop the sermons. That cannot happen, I said. Satan. If Satan does some false little good, afterward, the person will pay for it with a great calamity. Take care, take care, take care. Remember the word that poor little soul said, I am a sinner, but I did not seek the help of Satan, and I will never seek it. Here a soul asks us to say a few words about scouting. Of course, the parents who send their children to scouting and the children who become scouts think that scouting is not something bad. But those who have dealt with the question of scouting have shown that scouting has connections with Freemasonry. For this reason, do not send the children to scouting. Send them to catechism class. Besides, you have often seen on Sundays that instead of leading the children to the churches, they lead them out into the countryside. They abolish Sunday, and when the scouts do go to the church, you have seen with what egoism and what posture they take their place inside the church, as though they were cardinals. Scouting cultivates in children an inflated egoism. Catechism class cultivates the humble Christian spirit. So, who wanted to ask? Go ahead, Mr. Peter. I am listening. I am listening. I know of one also in Greece, a bishop, excuse me, a spiritualist, a Satanist. But the people humbled him. Seraphim installed him in a metropolis, and the people uprooted him from the metropolis. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, yes. Only I do not have the approval of the ecumenical patriarchate. In earlier years, you remember there was a spiritualist, Stanagras, Angelo Stanagras. You remember he came into conflict with the late Professor Tremblus. And what did Tremblus write to him? He wrote to him, you will die mentally ill. And that is how he died mentally ill. Those who go into such things suffer a disturbance in the world of their soul. They become mentally ill. Keep away. From time to time, people came there in Athens after the sermon and said to me, we have, they say, a disturbance of soul. We cannot be at peace, cannot sleep, and so on. The anxiety is great, I say. Did you perhaps go to any spiritualistic, satanic things? Yes, they say. Go to Holy Confession, pray and fast, and we shall see, and you will become calm. Yes, go ahead. Many have asked me about Demetrios Lekas. I've heard opinions in his favor and opinions against him. So, I cannot pronounce judgment. I'm not an ecumenical council. From a great grace-bearing person of our church, I heard that he was not a saint. If he is truly a saint, he will be established in the conscience of the church, as Saint Nectarios of Aegina was. If he is not, little by little the noise around his name will die away. Let us wait. Our church has millions of saints. One saint fewer does no harm, so patient endurance, the future will show. In Athens, outside Athens, as you know, there's a spiritualist woman too. Athanasia Vigilio, have you heard of her? Do you know how many people accept her as a saint and as a second most holy Theotokos? Christians are often shallow. Many, as Father Pazios of blessed memory used to say, many Christians are devoutly damaged. Sick minds. I went there once to sound out the situation. Whole families were devoted to Athanasia. They tell me she comes after Christ and after the most holy Theotokos. What are you saying, my children? I said, how can this woman have any connection with holiness when half of her breast was exposed? And she says, here the Holy Spirit writes letters. The spiritual father who heard her confession says, I cannot tell you anything. Anything but a saint. That is all I will tell you. Christians told me, I do not know whether this too is correct or true, but nothing is impossible with Satanists. She cuts her body and people receive communion with her blood. Once I went and spoke in a church in Egelio, and I said how we are to discern whether a person who performs signs and wonders is from God or from Satan, whether he's doing divine miracles or satanic ones. I mentioned nothing about Athanasia. I said, this is how we will discern it, on the basis of Holy Scripture, on the basis of the fathers. We will pay attention to this and that. And the other thing, as soon as I came down from the Ambo, some little women, silly little women, said, may you get cancer on your tongue. You accused the saint. After some time, I went and spoke again in the church, and I said, I did not get cancer, and I have come to preach again. This Athanasia had not been recognized by the local metropolitan. So one day she went to the metropolis and saw the metropolitan and said, Your Eminence, I have a complaint. He said, what complaint do you have? Well, she said, you do not recognize me. He said, what do you mean? I do not recognize you as a saint. She kept mumbling, well, you do not recognize me. What do you mean? He said, as a saint. Well, you do not recognize me. She kept saying again, she was ashamed to say, as a saint. But that is what she meant. Listen, he said, saints are recognized after death. Even 100 years must pass after death. You die peacefully first, he said. And then we shall see what happens. So here someone raises the subject of mixed marriages. I am thinking of giving a special sermon on mixed marriages, because here abroad, they tell me, mixed marriages are more numerous than canonical marriages. I will give a special talk, if God wills. So, another question, go ahead. I also want to say about Lekas that he became like a bishop. So, have patient endurance. He says, he has died, and we shall see what happens. After enough time has passed, God will show whether he is truly a saint or not. Go ahead. Let us not rush to proclaim saints. Yes, Freemasonry has a close connection with Satanism, a close connection. At some point, the struggler Pisarudakis must come here. He has dealt especially with the subject of Freemasonry. So he can give a lecture, and you can see what dreadful things Freemasonry teaches and does. Grace is emitted only from the church, from all the other systems, and from all the other situations. The energy of Satan is emitted. Another question? Go ahead. Yes? All right. All right. You will all have a chance. Go ahead. Good. The young man asked what the word of Christ means. Whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit is never forgiven. What does blasphemy against the Holy Spirit mean? At that moment, Christ had cast out a demon. What did the miracle signify? The presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Godhead. For only by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Godhead, can a demon be cast out. For the devil does not cast out the devil, who acted upon the demon, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, because Satan does not drive out Satan. But the Jews, hardened people, what did they say? They accused Christ and said, by Beelzebul, the prince of the demons, he casts out demons by the power of the prince of the demons. By the power of Beelzebul, Jesus casts out the demons. What did this mean? It means a hardened conscience, that a person is hardened to see a miracle plainly, a miracle that can take place only by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Godhead, and still not believe and to distort the meaning of the miracle. This is an insult against the Holy Spirit, an insult against the Godhead. That is what blasphemy means here. It means hardness. It means refusal to repent. And therefore, there is no forgiveness. All sins are forgiven. One thing is not forgiven. Hardness, refusal to repent. That is why Christ said, whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit, that is, whoever sees plainly the divine, uncreated energy of the Holy Spirit, of the Godhead, a clear miracle of the Holy Spirit, and he is not moved, and he does not believe, and instead he twists the meaning of the miracle. By this distortion, he blasphemes the Holy Spirit. He insults the Holy Spirit. He proves himself hardened and unrepentant. And as unrepentant, he never has forgiveness. All sins are forgiven except refusal to repent. This is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Hardness or refusal to repent. There are confessors. This is not what is meant. When we say someone blasphemes, that he blasphemes Christ, the most holy Theotokos, the Holy Spirit, he does not mean that kind of blasphemy. All right? If someone blasphemes in that sense and repents, he is forgiven. How many blasphemers repented when and confessed and said, Father, I used to curse holy things a little. Will you repent? I repent. Have you stopped blaspheming? I have stopped. All right, he is forgiven. But here, blasphemy is not in that sense. It is in the other sense. As we said, to see plainly the divine uncreated energy of the Holy Spirit and to remain unbelieving and unrepentant. That is not forgiven. Another question. And how does the church allow it? In our society, you know what? The church does not allow it. Bad representatives of the church allow it. The church forbids the undefiled mysteries to be given to heretics, to people of other religions, to the irreverent. The books of the church forbid it. Basil the Great says to the celebrant, take care to whom you give Holy Communion. Bad representatives of the church allow it. Go ahead. The church did not adopt them. Certain bishops adopted them. We, all the faithful, are the church. Do you approve of such things? No. All right, I know. We will speak about these things when we develop the subject of mixed holy matrimony. We will speak about them. Another question. Go ahead. Yes. Let us hear it. We have received Holy Communion countless times. We did not catch any disease. Whoever says that it is possible for disease to be transmitted through Holy Communion is an unbeliever. An unbeliever. The chalice that is on the holy table is a chalice of life and health. It is not a chalice of sickness and death. I repeat, we have received Holy Communion countless times, and we did not catch any disease in homes for the incurably ill, in hospitals for infectious diseases. Priests give Holy Communion to the sick with contagious illnesses, and nothing happens to them. This, too, is one of the miracles of the faith. This, too, is a miracle. Never be afraid. Receive Holy Communion without fear, but after preparation. After holy confession from time to time for your sins, Go ahead. You know what some people have been saying lately? Do not receive Holy Communion so you do not catch AIDS. A reverend priest in Athens turned the saying around and said, if you want not to catch AIDS, receive Holy Communion. Holy Communion is also medicine. Go ahead. All right, elders, sit down. The child says, since God is spirit and is invisible, and no one has ever seen God as he is, spirit cannot be seen. An angel is spirit too, and cannot be seen. And our soul is spirit too. So how do we depict God as a man in Holy Scripture? Many times God takes on a form for his chosen ones and appears as a man, as he is in his essence. A spirit, he cannot be seen. He is invisible, and no one is able to see him. But when God wishes to reveal himself to his chosen ones, he takes on a certain form. To Abraham, he appeared in the form of three men, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To Isaiah, God appeared like a king, again as a man upon the throne. To Ezekiel, he appeared like a white-haired elder to show that he is ancient, eternal. We paint him anthropomorphically. Not because he is a man or like a man, but because he appeared in this way, he took such a form. That is why we paint him like this. But this must not lead us to think that God is like a man with hands, feet, eyes, ears, and so on. No, he is not like that. But when he wishes to appear to his chosen ones, he takes a form and becomes visible. So we present him in those forms that he takes when he appears to his chosen ones. Yes, in spirit, because God has no body. This applies only with regard to the spirit, with regard to the soul, not with regard to the body. Tell us, he says, a few words about the Jew. It is a heretical movement. We have spoken about it before. Are there people from the Jew here? Stay far away. Their leader, an old man, used to tell his followers that whoever followed him and became a member of the Jew would not taste death, would not die. Have you seen anyone who does not die? I do not know. Is he still alive? Here, someone says, we are thinking of bringing Mr. P.S. Arudakis to speak. Bring him. He is a fighter. He is formidable, both in his speech and in his writing. His writing, his pen, his articles, break bones. They ask whether the impious are Freemasons through AHIPA. AHIPA is a branch of Freemasonry. And unfortunately, many Greeks here on the great continent of America belong to AHIPA. If they want to be saved, they must leave Freemasonry and AHIPA and Rotary. And the lions and the rest, if they can endure hell, let them stay where they are. But if they cannot endure it, then let them leave. Tell them that. But people have so much egoism that they do not listen. Some people were saying the other day, when I spoke by telephone on the air through a station in Florida, they came forward and defended Freemasonry and said, this theologian does not know what he is talking about. He is telling us fairy tales from Halima. We do know, and we know very well, and we speak about what we know. I have read books of the Freemasons, and on the basis of the Freemasons' own books, it is proven that Freemasonry is an anti-Christian religion. They do not confess Christ as God, and they have ceremonies, rituals, rites, prayers, oaths, initiations, anti-Christian things, satanic things. So then, is there any Freemason here so that we can have a dialogue? Any Jehovah's Witness, any Protestant, any Papist? I invite anyone to a dialogue. If he is willing, Let him come up here and let us have a dialogue at the microphone. Now, Saturday is for the dead, not for the living. The devil has managed it. The devil has managed it. That holy matrimony takes place on Saturday, so that Sunday is defiled. I know pious hierarchs in Greece who do not allow holy matrimony on Saturday. But there are other bishops who allow everything. The responsibility of the bishops is terrible, indeed. So then you should address yourselves to the bishops. I'm not a bishop. Another question, yes, we will speak about that tomorrow. The sister says, how can we discern whether a miracle is from God or from the devil? Tomorrow we will speak about these things. Tomorrow we will speak about magic, and we will say very serious things. So then, go ahead, my child. All these people are considered important. The scouts, the Hapans, the Masons, and only the Orthodox theologians are unacceptable. Yes, repeat it. Yes, listen, at the moment of conception, the parents give the person the body while God gives the spirit. What does the epistle to the Hebrews say there? It says, if we had the fathers of our flesh as chasteners and we respected them, shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? The parents are called fathers of the flesh. That is, the creators of our flesh give us the flesh. The sperm and the egg unite and give the flesh, the body, but God is the Father of the Spirit. That is, He is the creator of the Spirit. He creates and gives the Spirit. He who forms the Spirit of man within Him, says the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. God at the hour of conception, and these are great mysteries, forms and creates the Spirit and places it within the body. And in miniature, from the moment of conception, there is a human being, body and spirit, a tiny human person. These are mysteries. There you have it. Abortions are murders, crimes. Does not the Gospel of Luke say about the little child, John, that the babe leaped for joy in the womb? The embryo exists. It is a human being. So then, who here asked something? Yes, if you go to Pennsylvania in America, there's a Father Dolis here. Yes, deluded. Can you say a few words? Because there are many Christians. Well, I spoke about him before, and a letter was even sent. He wanted my approval too, but I do not give approvals easily. And from his letter, I do not remember now, it was years ago. Even from that letter, his delusion was evident. He was saying things that do not stand according to Holy Scripture. Their organization wants people to be deluded. And if you say anything, they tell you, you're accusing the holy man. So then, the followers of deluded people are usually very fanatical. You cannot change them. Terribly fanatical. Yes, he was healed from cancer. And he organizes the trips and goes to Father Anthony and to the mystery and says it's our Father. Many say that people are healed, but how many can prove what they say? How did he do it? How did he do it? What does the mother of Dimitris Lekas say? That, well, is this man coming to Greece now? What is he saying? Are you joking? I hear now that he had Anthony Morphosis as his spiritual father. And if we go further, we come to another spiritual father and elder who is higher still. So then, another question. When I'm thirsty, I dream of fountains. When I am hungry, I dream of loaves of bread. Dreams are either of psychological origin or of satanic origin. Rarely is a dream from God. And when it is from God, it is given to people to whom he has given a gift and discernment. And it happens, a dream, because of reverence and all this, is rare. So then, Let us pray. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. Tomorrow we will develop the subject of magic, which has many frightening and important aspects. Notify others as well. You are dismissed in peace.